Stolen letters written by Robert E. Lee, George Armstrong Custer, and others could put a Virginia man in jail. Yesterday, Howard W. Harner, Jr. pleaded guilty to stealing the papers from the National Archives. It's not the first case of missing documents at the archives. Many Washington tourists have seen the archives' rotunda, where the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, and the Bill of Rights are displayed. That's just one room of a two-block building filled with treasures most people never see. A new exhibition provides a glimpse of some of them. Harriet Baskis reports in this installment of the Hidden Treasures Radio Project.
Cynthia Fox is chief of the National Archives Old Military and Civil Records Unit.
And we're about to enter the 18th tier, east side, third room, 18E3 at the National Archives building.
The room runs the length of the entire building.
This room is one of several large rooms that house the Civil War pension files and contains millions of pages of Civil War widows' applications.
Fox considers these files historical gold mines because they're filled with detailed family records and depositions about the hardships of daily life after the Civil War. The National Archives has more than 10 billion paper records, 30 million photographs, and close to 3 million maps and charts, all stored in more than 30 buildings around the country. Archives Museum Program Director Marvin Pinkard says there's everything from childhood photos of presidents to the deed for the Statue of Liberty.
Handwritten letters by George Washington, satellite photography, Vietnam POW database, the film footage of Eisenhower press conferences, lots of things that you might not suspect are inside the National Archives.
There's so much stuff, in fact, that keeping track of it all has caused some problems. One archives employee was jailed for stealing $200,000 worth of pardons signed by presidents and photographs taken by astronauts. And items stolen from the archives sometimes show up on internet auction sites. That doesn't surprise Bruce Craig of the National Coalition for History.
Oh, no. This is an across-the-board problem facing federal, state, municipal archives, as well as libraries and archives and museums throughout the world. It's certainly not one that is confronted only by the National Archives.
For security purposes, records stored at the National Archives can only be examined in research rooms. Only staff members are allowed inside the vaults. But now the new Public Vaults exhibition lets regular citizens peek at some of the government's hidden treasures.
You want to see some stuff? Come this way.
Museum Program Director Marvin Pinkard has some favorites among the more than 1,000 items displayed in a dozen small rooms designed to look like the stacks in the back rooms. Memos from a 1952 Air Force study of UFO sightings, immigration papers for Albert Einstein and Alfred Hitchcock, and a 1912 wax cylinder recording of a campaign speech by Theodore Roosevelt.
We stand for the rights of the people. We stand for the rights of the wage worker. We stand for his right to a living wage.
There are also unofficial recordings from White House tapes. They include a 1963 phone call between Lyndon Johnson and Senator Richard Russell. The president is telling Russell that, like it or not, he's been appointed to the Warren Commission investigating President Kennedy's assassination.
What do you think I've done wrong now by appointing you on a commission?
Well, I just don't like Warren.
Well, of course you don't like Warren, but you like him for it's over with.
I haven't any confidence.
Well, you can give him some confidence. God damn it.
The famous White House tape recorder, the Ewer 5000 that the late Rosemary Woods was using when 18 minutes of Watergate-related tape accidentally got erased, is on display, as is the letter 12-year-old Fidel Castro wrote to President Franklin Roosevelt asking for $10. A more urgent letter was delivered by carrier pigeon to U.S. Army officials during World War I. The note was from a unit in France that was surrounded and under fire for a week in October 1918.
This is from the Lost Battalion, which was taking friendly fire. And this message, which was rolled up, says, "For heaven's sake, please stop."
Marvin Pinkard says many less urgent but equally intriguing items were left out of the exhibition. The government's copy of the first issue of Mad Magazine, evidence in a juvenile delinquency hearing, was just too fragile, so a digital image of its cover is on display. But a letter from an immigrant suggesting liquor rationing as an alternative to prohibition is not displayed because curators thought it could embarrass the sender or his family.
These are records of real citizens, real human beings, who had every right to protest activity of the federal government. I think that we wanted to make sure that we showed the records, but also showed some respect.
So that letter stays in storage, but a note protesting a haircut is part of the Public Vault exhibition at the National Archives. In 1958, three girls from Montana wrote to inform President Eisenhower that if the Army cut Elvis Presley's sideburns, they would just about die. For NPR News, I'm Harriet Baskis.
You can see Rosemary Wood's tape recorder and other items from the exhibit at our website, npr.org.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.